mom surviving life. Tough questions, real answers, awesome hacks.
Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of Mom Surviving Life. Today, Carla and I are going to be talking about playtime 0 to 2 years old. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you listen to us on. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsurvivinglife and on Instagram at momsurvivinglife, all one word. Great toys for certain ages. This is, like, I know that you did the show notes, but, like, for me, the boxes all lie. Like, my kids are 2 and they still play with something that's, like, 0 to 6 months.
Okay, I agree, but I also agree the other way. Like, I've been buying Ella stuff for 2-year-olds and she's only, like, 1.5 years, not even.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. The boxes lie.
Yeah, for sure.
The boxes lie both ways. Don't give your 2-year-old Legos, because they'll just shove all the blocks in their mouth, and then they potentially could choke, and that's just a safety hazard.
Absolutely. Like, obviously, use some judgment. Buy your kids the Mega Blocks instead. Like, you have options.
I have so many Mega Blocks. It's insane.
Ella likes to rub them on her lemonade stand. And I was like, can we just add some sandpaper to them and she can just sand her lemonade stand for us? All right. Yeah. Boxes lie. Don't take toys away they still like.
The girls have, it's like the peg that the rings go on.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's like a 6-month plus toy. The girls still play with it. Like,
they're still building, like, their fine motor skills and, like, how to put them on in which order. Like, toys like that can grow with them for so long because there's so many different things you can do with one toy at that point.
Well, and, like, there's toys that, like, we don't play with and then they come back around to because they're like, oh, I like this again. It's, like, sweet.
Absolutely.
All right, tummy time. Do you know what the tummy time water mat is?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually found out what this was. I never got it for my kids, partly because I kind of thought it was dumb. But seeing as I had to put my kids in helmets because they were not on their tummy enough, it's not really that dumb.
Okay. I loved it. I had one for Ella. I have since put it away because I'm worried she's just going to pop it. Actually, I think we're on our second one, to be honest. And they're awesome. It helps prop them up. Gives them, like, fishies and different things to look at. Ella loved hers. Loved it. And now you can buy them where they're, like, black and white and the high contrast, which is cool. I wish I could have got her that one, but they didn't come out with it until after.
My only issue with the tummy time mat is if you get your child accustomed to that, like, when they're on their tummy, they're going to, like, expect it, and that wasn't what I wanted. I just wanted them to be on their tummy, and, like, I offered them other toys. I offered to, like, get on the floor and play with them. They just hated life when they were on their tummy.
babies do.
Yeah, I really struggled with it. Even my pediatrician was like, you need to let them cry, and I'm like, but I feel bad. They're crying, and I need to pick them up and love them. She's like, oh, my God, relax. She's also a mom, but she was very blunt, which was awesome because I kind of needed that at times.
Right. You Ella also loved tummy time, so it was really easy.
You're very lucky. As a preemie parent, get your kid doing tummy time and not laying on their back. I know it's really hard, but tummy time is literally where it's at because I had to put corrective helmets on my kids. And if I did not have delightful benefits, I would have been seriously in trouble because they're not cheap.
Honestly, start tummy time, like, the easiest way we started tummy time was just on our chest, and then you, like, gradually move up, right? Like, but that's the best way to start, is just lean back so you're almost, like, laying down on a couch and just have them sit, lay on your belly.
Absolutely.
That's the easiest way to start it, and then you can work your way up from there. Obviously, with 2, it's a little more difficult.
It was a lot more difficult.
Yes.
Exercisor. We are not talking about the walker that is banned in Canada. Regardless if you have one or not, I really don't care. This is the exercisor. So my girls were obsessed with exercisors because it gave them a sense of, like, being upright and in a conversation. but they had the ability to like jump and spin around. We got these given to us by our neighbor, thank God, because they're expensive. If you can find one secondhand, absolutely do that. I only moved the girls up when they could stand and like their legs were bent a little bit. Like, you'll know when you have to move it up because you're like, okay, you can clearly reach everything. I need to move this up.
Yeah, you can tell when they need to move up. I also found the Exosaucer good because it just gave you like that easy hands-free time to do what you needed to do. And they were safe, right? Like, there wasn't a lot of toys that I felt that I could just leave her in to do something that I needed to do.
So you're not also like leaving the house and going to the store. You're literally like going to the bathroom with the door open. Yes. So you can hear her, just to clarify.
Yes. Like a hands-free activity that you would like to do alone, or even like as simple as making dinner or something.
Or the dishes.
Yeah.
Because this brings us to our next item, which is the Jolly Jumper, which is an amazing toy. I don't know who invented it, but God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
Jolly Jumpers are amazing. I had two, one for each kid. I also, as soon as I put my kids in Jolly Jumpers, my pediatrician was like hard and fast, no more than 20 minutes a day. And then as they got older, she's like 20 minutes, two times a day, but that was it. No more. Because what happens is they get used to being on their tippy toes and then they walk on their tippy toes and it actually like screws up the development of their legs and they may actually have to go to physiotherapy to walk with their feet flat on the ground. Make sure you set the timer and stick to it.
We loved the Jolly Jumper. You told us about the timing and stuff and how it can also interfere with like their hips too. So we were pretty good. We did it normally after bath time, before bedtime, to get out a bunch of extra energy.
We
had it in a doorway. However, we only have one doorway in our house, as weird as that sounds, on our main floor anyway, and it's the bathroom. So it wasn't fun always hanging out in the bathroom for her to jump. So we ended up taking my mom's stand and brought it home so she could jump in the living room with us. And she loved it. She would go crazy. The Jolly Jumper mats are also pretty cool that go with it, that make sounds and sing songs and stuff. Ella really liked it.
As a twin mom, when my girls literally would like barely move in them because they were just super excited, I used to put them in the same doorway and I was like literally right there, hands on with them. And then once they got a little bit more aggressive, I was definitely do your own doorway. We luckily have like a corner of our house where there's two doorways, which is awesome. So that's where they would jump. It was a great way to get out poop. Just in case anyone's wondering, every time I see a baby in Jolly Jumper, I'm like, they're going to poop everywhere.
Ella never pooped in her Jolly Jumper.
Oh my God. Reagan pooped the one time. She hadn't pooped in like 36 hours, which they were exclusively breastfed. So my pediatrician was like, they can go 3 weeks without a poop. It's totally fine. If they're exclusively breastfed, no formula. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Maybe it was like 3 days. I can't remember. Reagan hadn't pooped in a bit. And I just remember she was like going crazy. And then it was just dead stare. Her face went beet red. I'm like, ah, she pooped. And then Kinsley, at that exact moment, had a meltdown in her Jolly Jumper. And I had to get her out. So Reagan jumped everywhere, which meant the poop was all the way up her back. I had to wash the Jolly Jumper because there was poop literally everywhere.
Nice.
Not at the bottom of her legs, like up her back, up her front. I was just like, oh my God. And my mom was, I forget where my mom was, but she wasn't in the house. It was just me and the girls. And I was just like, this is literally the worst thing ever. Reagan thought it was hilarious. I'm like, this is not funny. You literally have poop everywhere.
You have one kid having a meltdown and the other one is just laughing because they have poop everywhere.
This is literally how my life went for like the first year.
My biggest thing is I've seen a lot of people put their kids in Jolly Jumpers a little too soon where their kid's not quite holding their head up. Please don't do that. Please make sure your kid can support their head before putting them in a Jolly Jumper.
And if your kid puts their head to the side, like ear to shoulder, it means they're ready to get out. My doctor told me that, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So if their head is down or to the side, it means they want to get out. So a lot of times, like, my girls are obsessed with their toes. I don't understand why, but they are. So they'd be in the jelly jumper, and they'd start looking at their toes because they could figure out that they could stand and wiggle their toes. So every time that they would look down, I'm like, do you want to get out or do you want to keep jumping? And if they wouldn't respond, I would just take them out. And a lot of times they didn't care because they would start crawling or do something else. But sometimes they'd start jumping in, and I'm like, okay, keep jumping. Like, it just depended on what was going on.
Absolutely. Ball poppers. Ella loves her ball popper and still loves it. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like an air thing that pushes the balls out, and it pops up, and then they go back down, and they pop back up again, and they zigzag down.
Ella, it's just like this thing that, like, shoots balls a few inches into the air and then catches it and does it again. It's kind of like, think of like the concept of like a fountain, but with like little spherical balls that are like an inch and a half wide.
Yeah.
That's a mini stick ball. That's what they are. My kids get super bored with this and scared of these things because we don't have a lot of like motorized toys. We have a lot of like books and puzzles and imaginative things. Just because a lot of our stuff is secondhand and some stuff, I'm like, I don't want that. It's going to make noise. I really don't need to listen to that for like 6 hours a day. It's going to drive me nuts. Even when the girls were at your house, I don't think they even like cared.
Probably
they
not.
They wanted the ball pit. They didn't want the ball popper.
Yes.
Fine motor skills toys. This is something, I don't even know if you know what this is. I see a lot of these on Instagram. One of them is going and buying a whisk. Like, literally, this is like Dollar Tree life hack right here. Go to the like cooking aisle, get a whisk, go to the craft aisle, get some pom-poms, put the pom-poms in the whisk, or get some felt and cut it into like strips and put those in the whisk. And the girls have to like, or your children, sorry. My girls would like pull them out of the whisk. This would keep them entertained for like hours. You just got to monitor. They're not going to shove the pom-pom in their mouth because they're not exactly huge. And then they figured out how to open the whisk and all the pom-poms would fall out in like 2 seconds. I was like, okay, we're moving on from this toy. So those are packed away into storage and into like essentially the craft bin.
Yeah, you can definitely search different homemade fine motor skill toys that are super easy and probably has stuff that you already have around your house. I feel like I didn't do a lot of this stuff with Ella.
Yeah, but you had a lot of different toys that my girls didn't have that I think also does fine motor skills. Like one of them, like the ball popper, I think to a degree is a fine motor skill because she has to watch it and then catch it.
Right. For sure. And I wanted to be that mom that did these things, but like the homemade stuff, but we can't all be those moms.
Oh, I wanted to have my kids fully functioning in sign language by 2. You know what my kids know? More and sorry. That's it. That's all my kids know. And it's literally the only one that does the signs is Regan. Partly because sorry is her favorite word. What is a holy ball? Because you literally put that and I was just like, question mark, what? LOL, like I have no idea what you mean by holy ball.
I don't know.
Are you talking about the ball that has a whole bunch of holes and like a few of them have rattles?
Yeah, where they can like hold it in different ways. That's exactly what it is.
We're going to put a link to this on our Instagram because Carla is horrible at explaining things in the show notes. My girls have had these since they were 6 months old. They absolutely are obsessed and love them. I don't really know how to explain them other than they kind of look like a super exaggerated wiffle ball that has like a few of the holes have like clear discs with like beads in them.
It's an O-ball. That's what it's called. An O-ball.
There we go. Carla's quick on the Google to find out the actual name of the toys. Because if you buy toys secondhand, like me and Carla, It doesn't actually come in a box. It comes pre-assembled with an O-box and it's like $5. Which, by the way, if you have to go buy hard plastic toys, 1000% the route to go. Because they're way cheaper.
And very easy to clean.
I also just bought my kids the Little Tykes Coupe, the princess one, which is all pink. $18 came pre-assembled.
Perfect.
I hate assembling things. Like, literally, when I moved the one time. I think I offered my brother a case of beer to come to my house and like assemble all of my furniture that I bought from IKEA. I was like, I'll pay you. I really don't want to do this. Like, I will supply the beer. You can come stay. We'll go to the bar afterwards. It'd be great. He's like, no, I don't want to go do that. And I'm just like, I don't want to assemble this myself. I hate assembling anything.
So a funny story about the coupe. Shane had bought one of his friends for his daughter's first birthday, a coupe. And Shane went over one day and he was like, his buddy was trying to build it. He said it was the worst thing ever he ever had to build. To this day, and this is like two more kids later, they have three girls. That coupe was the worst thing that he ever had to build.
Buy them pre-assembled, so much cheaper, and saves yourself that headache.
So he bought Ella a coupe for her first birthday, and I built it.
Was it difficult?
No. But guys don't follow the instructions, and that's where you have issues.
Yes, yes, it is. Literally, like, when I moved into my apartment with my ex, my brother and sister-in-law, like, we literally moved in, like, Thursday, Friday, and my brother and sister-in-law, like, hey, we're coming Saturday. And I was like, we have nothing done. There's not a kitchen ready. Like, what? So I was like, can you bring an airbed? Like, can you stop at mom and dad's and get the airbed? Because, like, we don't have room for you to come and stay. And he goes, yeah, that's fine. So my ex and my brother finished one of the dressers. And they ended up giving up and going and watching a movie. And my sister-in-law and I built the other dresser and then went and completed the dresser that my ex and my brother were building. And the whole time I was like, we were drinking and I was like, this is so much fun. I'm like, I can't wait for you and my brother, like me and my ex to have a kid. And like, we can assemble all the nursery items together while we're drunk. And she's like, you realize the pregnant woman is not going to be able to drink. And I'm like, okay, they can just pretend like they're having sparkling cider out of a wine glass. Like, that'll work. She was laughing. It's a great time.
Love it.
Toys that make sound. Erica hates these because I love my children. I hate how annoying their toys and they can be sometimes. And I understand that's an unpopular opinion. I don't care. I love my children to bits and pieces, but when they're there for 6 hours doing, I'm like, oh my God, stop.
I'm not gonna lie, a lot of Ella's toys that do make noise, I feel like I just zone them out now. I just don't even hear them.
Yes, you learn to zone them out, but the Crinkle toys I can deal with, I really don't care. That's actually like one of the best toys you can get, like a baby under 6 months, whatever. Is my girls still play with Crinkle toys. Ironically, I was at my cousin's house today and she bought her kid this like Kleenex box thing. I want to say it's like, you know, the magician that like keeps pulling handkerchiefs out. It's one of those, but it's like with Crinkle. She's like, it was on Amazon for like $5 because her daughter is obsessed with a Kleenex box. I'm like, that is amazing. I'll have to get her to send me the link so we can post it.
Yes.
I literally have on here the stupid pigs. So during COVID in Ontario, there was a great idea that they were going to shut down all the retailers and they were only going to allow essential items to be bought. Somebody somewhere decided that dog toys were essential, but children's toys were not. So, me being creative and my kids being obsessed with things that like make noise, I couldn't find anything on the buy and sell sites because it was all stuff that I'm like, this is going to be annoying. My kids got pigs. They're dog toys. They're the ones from the dollar store. We'll post a picture on our Instagram. You squeeze them and they make a noise. I probably should take a video while I'm at the dollar store next to explain this to you guys. Here's the thing. I need to get a video of this because it's probably the funniest thing ever. Kinsley will like squat on it now and like move her butt up and down and make the pig make a noise and then laugh because the pig is making the noise. It is hilarious. Also,
oh my God, please do.
I gotta catch her in the act because if you ask her to do it, she won't. It's just a very organic thing that happens every now and then, and I never can get my camera out in time. But I definitely bought my kids dog toys when we were on lockdown around last Christmas just because they were obsessed with stuff. And I was like, I can only buy you dog toys. So I bought them like semi-appropriate dog toys. The other one that they have is a monkey that apparently crinkles. It's like a year later, they still love it.
That's awesome. I put most of Ella's crinkle toys away now.
You may want to get them back out, like, oh, I don't know, in about 6 months. You have rattles on here. I don't think we ever had, I mean, like, I know that there's, like, a few of the kids' toys that rattle, but, like, I don't think we ever had, like, a legitimate rattle.
No, we didn't have, like, a legitimate rattle, but she had, it was, like, this set of, like, 20 little musical instrument things. There was, like, a horn and stuff, and most of them were rattles, like, the modern-day rattle. No one has rattles, like, the ball on top rattle, like in the old days. So, oh, we got the puppy. He got huge fast.
This is Rex. He grows every day. You say, oh, hi, my Rex. God,
yes.
Say hi.
Hi, Rex. Bark. Hi, Rex.
Speak. Woof. You speak? Bark. Oh, you're He's okay, like, puppy.
Let me go.
He just wants to go with my dad. So if my dad ever just like decides to leave, he's like, but come back.
Oh, he is huge. He's not wasting any time.
I legitimately said to my mom, I'm like, did he get bigger from yesterday?
Yeah. Like, yes, he did.
Anyways, back to rattles. You're saying about a ball on
top? So I feel like rattles nowadays are not your typical rattle from back in the day where you had like a stick with a ball on top that you shook and rattled, right? Like rattles nowadays are in different shapes, have different things on them. Things move, but they still rattle and they can shake them to make noise. I feel like anything like small enough for like a 0 to 6 month old baby to put in their hand that they can shake and make noises is a rattle, because there's so many different ones out there now that they're not just your typical rattle.
Oh my God. There's like 4 bajillion different rattle toys.
Yes. They are good. Like, I know Ella really enjoyed being able, like, once she started picking things up, right? Like, she kind of went, like, it's one day to the next. And you're like, oh, wow, you can pick things up. And then you teach her to shake it and how it makes noise. And it's just a good toy to start your fine motor skills, like grabbing things and shaking things. And
yes. And I also think that it's really crucial to their development to, like, learn, I want to say, like, cause and effect, that if you shake something, it'll make a noise.
Right.
There he is. Now he's all upset because my dad went for a shower. It's like, you can't go in the shower with him.
All right, teethers.
Okay, so Carla and I had a conversation, I don't know how long ago this was, about putting those liquid-filled teethers in the freezer. And yes, it says on the package not to put them in the freezer. Put them in the freaking freezer and just monitor your child. There, I said it. Because I don't know any parent that uses those without freezing them ever. Every parent, yeah, I know, they're frozen.
Erica and I had this big debate, and I'm like, but it says not to freeze them. And she's like, it's as long as they're not like literally poking holes into them, they're going to be fine. And the ones we actually bought, our kids, have water in them. So even if they were to puncture a hole, it's just water.
Exactly.
No, you do freezing the teethers is the way to go.
Your kids
like it. They work longer, but yeah, do what you are comfortable with. That's for all things and all toys.
If you are super paranoid and you are very concerned and you don't want to do that, I have an alternative for you that is safe. You take distilled water, you boil it. I think it's like five minutes is what you have to do. And, or you take tap water and boil it. I can't remember. I had to use tap water.
If it's distilled water, you don't have to boil it.
Okay. So tap water, you boil it for 5 minutes, whatever is according to Google. to make distilled water. Then you take clean washcloths, soak them in the water until they're thoroughly saturated, put them in individual Ziploc bags, and throw those in the freezer. The only problem that I don't like about those is they get wet, and then everything they're around is wet, and then your child is wet and potentially cold. And that was just not something I was down for.
Same. Ella would get really, yeah, everything would just get soaked.
Because I believe you were doing this at first, and I was like, just freeze the silicone teething rings, please.
Yeah. Ella really liked the Razzleberry Soother.
Yes. Once the girls got onto them, they were obsessed with them. They still play with them. They're two.
Yeah. Ella still has hers out to you because obviously she's still teething.
Don't know where ours are now, but they're somewhere in the mess of stuff that we have.
There's also another great teether that I have that Ella actually just recently started using a lot more because it helps more with like the back teeth. And it's a soother that you can use it four different ways that gets, it essentially will hit all the teeth depending on which way you turn it. And I will post that one. I don't know what it's called, but.
Is that the Molar Magician from Teething Egg?
No.
Oh, I have those. I have two of them. The girls love them. They're awesome.
Hands work great.
Yeah. When in doubt, let them use their hands.
Probably feels better for them anyway.
I am going to say yes. I mean, the girls are definitely one of those. They're like, what about this? What about this? I'm like, no, this will be good for you. You have Sophie on here. Are you talking about Sophie the giraffe?
Yeah.
We've had...
Like the teether.
Like the actual full one? Because the girls don't even have those.
It's like 5 or 6 inches big.
Yeah, the girls don't have those. I don't have them because of the whole like mold thing that went around Facebook. I don't have them just because no one ever bought them for me. And they were really expensive and I couldn't afford them.
They are really expensive. We got it as a gift. Ella has the full size one and really did like it for a long time. She's over it now. It squeaks. So once she learned that she could squeak it, the mold thing, I feel like if you put it in water, you're going to have that issue.
Ella's like if you take it in the bath?
Yeah. Ella's doesn't go in the bathtub. And I would never put it in the bathtub because that's a super expensive bath toy at that point. And yeah, it's only going to last a couple weeks and you have to throw it out because all those bath toys that have the hole in it to squirt water out, they don't last long because of mold. So if you do have a Sophie, I would never submerge it in water and just like wipe it clean every once in a while to keep it clean. But yeah, please avoid putting it in water.
Okay. The last thing we're going to touch on, I don't really think this is a toy. I think it's more of an educational tool, but books.
Yes. Very, very important. Ella has loved books from essentially day one. We had crinkle books that were high contrast crinkle books. And then we had other ones that were like fruit and cars and vegetables and bugs. And they're really good. It's a good starter book. And then Ella really likes the board books. However, if your kid is anything like mine and is a little bit of a destructor, avoid any with flaps. Or
yep,
things like that where your kid will just rip it off.
We have a few books that are literally at this point held together with some scotch tape because they love them. And I'm like, I really don't want to buy a new one. And oh, Lord.
I have definitely put some of the books away that until she is better with books, she will get them later. But definitely avoid all like paper books right off the bat because they will just rip them.
I literally have a shelf on their bookcase. It is the very top shelf, and that's all the paper books. We have not brought them out yet. If you really want to see why you shouldn't ever give your kid a paper book, find a flyer. Costco sends a flyer to your house. CAA sends a nice, lovely catalog. Give those to your kids. Give them 30 seconds unattended and come back and see why you're not supposed to give your kids paper books. The girls love tearing apart the Costco catalog. When my mom is done with it, that's where it goes.
Ella is like any piece of paper you give her and she wants to rip it. So ideally wait until your kid's a little older for like paper books, but the board books are really good. Just try to avoid flaps and stuff because they will just rip them out.
Yep. I also have some squishy books that go in the bath. They came from the dollar store. I've never seen them there. My grandma got them. I don't know how long ago. They're great. They literally just have a picture of like an animal and like a singular word. So I've turned them into a whole storybook. Kind of funny, but not. One is all sea creatures. So I use all the voices from Finding Nemo, which I am utterly terrible at, by the way. My kids think my voices are awesome and I am terrible.
It's all terrible part of parenting.
Yes, if you would like an audience that always laughs at you, have kids. Because you can do the worst impression and your kids think it's hilarious.
Yes, 100%.
All right, let's move on to the different types of play. Bath time play, I think, is really important. Not only for water safety, but also to get your kid used to being around water. People think I'm insane because I give my kids like hour-long baths.
If your kid is all for it, the longer the better. Like, you want them to enjoy the water and like bath time. I know for sure our baths definitely got Ella ready for like swimming lessons and swimming in the summer, and she just loved it so much. And it's a good way to start. Like, don't be afraid to put water over your kid's face.
I am very blessed. My parents have a pool. The girls are obsessed with the pool. We still can't even mention the pool before they're like wanting to go in it, even if it's November. So they love the pool. They also love bubble baths, which I'm going to shout out to Kristen and Kyle. If they're listening, they gave me this hack. It's how to get an insane amount of bubbles, because the girls are obsessed with bubbles and all the like the kid safe bubble bath. It doesn't work. They give you bubbles for like 30 seconds and then they're gone. My hack is you get some Dawn dish soap and you take that whisk that you're no longer using because your kids are past fine motor skills, and you whisk the Dawn dish soap in the bath. I will try and take a picture of the tub after the girls get out with the amount of bubbles. It does not take that much Dawn dish soap to get a good bubble bath going.
After you told me about this, I didn't do it, but I kind of make my hand a whisk and just like, and it seems to work really well. So like just stiffen your fingers and like kind of like shake it around. And it seems to work really well to get lots of bubbles.
Yeah, I already had whisks kicking around that I'm like, what am I going to do with these? So they're now bath toys. The girls actually like making their own bubble bath because they're old enough. So I just like put the Dawn in and they do it themselves now, which is hilarious. Till they whack themselves. Awesome. Till they whack their sister in the head with the whisk and then they get taken away.
I should do that with Ella. Give her more of that independence, right?
Yeah. And then they're like, more, more, more. I'm like, I'm not giving you more bubble bath. So I just like take the whisk and I just like whisk it again and then the bubbles come back. I'm like, look, there's more bubbles, which is perfect. Also good. So
what are some other good bath toys?
I have a whole bunch of like sea creatures they absolutely love. We have two like sponge balls that came from the pool that they haven't destroyed yet. So those are in the bath. I'm literally looking at my bath toys right now and like what's in here. So Dollarama had these like light up ducks that lit up in water. Those were a fantastic thing to put in the bath for the 5 seconds that they worked. And then the girls held them under the water and they don't work anymore. We have a whole bunch of like squeeze toys that everyone's like, you need to put super glue on them. No, you need to just like squeeze them out after you're done with the bath, which is literally what I do. And I've never had mold in them.
So I only give Ella like two at a time of those squeeze toys. And I try and squeeze all the water out. I think because our bath toys stay in the bathroom and like through my shower, through Shane's shower. So I think they're getting a lot more moisture than what yours would be because yours aren't in the bathroom.
No, I literally put everything in a bin and move it outside of the bathroom, which I strongly recommend because it allows them to fully dry out.
Yeah. But that's why we only give Ella like one or two at a time. And then we replace them frequently, like change them out.
The girls love throwing all their toys in the bath. Oh, we also have stacking cups, which the girls now try and just drink out of. So they end up getting taken away.
Those, like, any toy that doesn't, like, hold the water like those squeeze toys are really good. Like, I bought my mom these boats, and you can connect them together, and you can stack them. They were, like, $5 at Walmart, and Ella loves them. You can do so many different things with them, and I'm like, I need to buy some of these for myself. I was just buying them for my mom because she only had those squeeze toys, and because she's only there once every month, that we're not using them enough and they just get gross. So we now have toys that aren't squeeze toys that hold water.
Okay. Active versus independent play. This is kind of a controversial topic, honestly, for a lot of parents, because almost all my reels now literally deal with parenting thanks to this podcast. So thank you for that. Or it's literally like just the most random thing ever. So active play is where you're playing with your kids actively, and then independent play is where they're playing by themselves. I'm definitely one of those parents that is pushing more independent play on my kids, partly because if they can play by themselves, it allows me to clean beside them, cook dinner, and they can play in the kitchen. They're a little bit better at preoccupying themselves in a new space. And all I have to do is watch them, which when I have two kids, sometimes is a way easier option watching two kids rather than actively playing with two kids.
I'm totally on the same side as you. Independent play for me is huge. I know when Ella gets home from daycare, it's like the last thing she wants to do is play by herself. But if you can get them to be able to play by themselves while you can do some other stuff around the house close by, it's amazing. And starting that early on is even better.
So I don't ever, like, I never play with my kids. I'm not like that. I just, in the morning, we have to get up. I have to make breakfast. And then we eat breakfast together, like the three of us. Or I'm making my lunch, but right now I'm not working, so I don't have to pack a lunch. So they sit and eat their lunch and I'll sit with them. But I try and do a whole bunch of other stuff while they're preoccupying themselves. And like, even if independent play is 5 minutes, that's still 5 minutes that you can cut up a banana and throw some berries on a plate for breakfast. Like, there you go. Healthy breakfast.
Yeah, we're not saying that we don't play with our kids. We just encourage independent play.
I find it helps too with their imagination, which then also makes them creative.
100%.
This is my justification. I also have a built-in playmate for my other child because I created two at once. It sucks having two at once, but it is what it is.
I get it, though. It's having that essential best friend for your kid to play with without needing to do a play date is awesome. I remember growing up, and I'm a twin, and having my sister, and we did everything together. So it was so easy to just be like, let's go play house downstairs. Like, easy peasy. And it's way easier on you. And like, as they get older, it will get easier.
Yes. How do you deal with mine?
I don't have that issue.
Okay. So I do. Because I have two kids. This may be controversial, but I give the toy back to the original player and take the secondary player over and offer her a new toy and explain to her that she can't just rip things out of her sister's hands.
No, for sure. Ella doesn't really take things.
You're lucky.
She, well, even at the girl's birthday, I feel like everyone was taking stuff from her, and I'm like, it's fine. Like, Ella, you're like, she didn't really care, but I'm like, one of these times she's going to come over and not be so nice. I feel like, well, she's that kid that like builds up to it.
And like, I feel like anytime the girls did it, like if I caught them, I'm like, can you please give that back to her? And everyone's like, why do you talk to your kids like adults? I'm like, because I don't baby my children.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. My kids are old enough that they know what they're doing. I also make cleaning up a game, so.
Same.
Okay, this is also a kind of controversial topic, is girl toys versus boy toys.
I think there's no difference.
No, I'm shaking my head, but no one can see me. No, there is no difference. I find there's a lot of toys that are marketed to boys, and a lot of them are STEM toys. I'm talking Lego, Kinects. And STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, just in case anyone was wondering. It's an acronym. STEM toys have become super popular over, I'm going to say, the last, like, what, 5 years, I think?
Yeah.
But toys are toys. Like, my girls right now are obsessed with unicorns, but, like, I know kids that are boys that are obsessed with dolls. And I'm like, oh, no, they're going to be a good, involved parent. Let them have the freaking doll.
Absolutely. It's not a bad thing. And now you can get dolls that are boys. So if you are concerned with your kid playing with a doll, just get him a boy. Girls play with girls, boys can play with boys.
Also, I just want to make something very clear. If you're concerned about your boy being gay because he plays with a doll, probably should not let your boy play with a G.I. Joe. That's probably going to make him gay faster than playing with a Barbie. Just throwing it out there.
Well, like, your girls got, like, the workbench and...
Yep. Yes, they did. My children got a workbench for their second... Yep. Workbench and tools for their second birthday.
And Ella's getting that for Christmas from one of our friends. I think he's also buying her a pink heart hat.
I also got my children a car for Christmas, which I mentioned earlier in the episode. So I don't know if that's like a girl thing, boy thing, but like the girls also have bikes. Is that a boy thing? Like,
no.
We literally had this conversation with my brother and sister-in-law earlier this week. And my brother's like, well, this is a boy toy and this is a girl toy. And my sister-in-law is like, explain it. And I'm like, beep, beep, back up and put the shovel down right now. Like, stop what you're doing. You're just digging yourself into a hole, dude. Like, just stop.
Yeah. They're... When they are that little, actually, even going as you go, there's really no difference.
Let your kid play with what makes them happy, because honestly, I'm in, like, I swear to God, as soon as my kids understood that they were two, we've hit the terrible twos. Kinsley has temper tantrums every day about God knows what. It's bad. Moving on. The last thing that we're going to discuss is screen time. I am one of those parents that my children were watching Baby Einstein. We were watching the Aquarium Channel. I binged Gilmore Girls on my maternity leave. I think I'm on, like, I don't know, my eighth show. I mean, I was binging from, like, the time I went off when I was in sick leave, but screen time I don't find is bad.
I think it's almost better to have the TV on around them and them not care about it than to not have it around them and then they're like glued to it when you get it, like when they do get it.
Yeah, like my kids, I literally will put Handy Manny on to give myself like 30 seconds to, I don't know what I'm doing, like run downstairs and grab their PJs. They don't even care. So I just won't have the TV on for a few days so that it becomes a treat. And they're like, oh, Handy Manny. I'm like, perfect. If you give your kids what you think is an acceptable amount of screen time, or don't just mindlessly sit there and watch the TV, it shouldn't be an issue.
Absolutely. And no toddler at the, like, under two is literally sitting there and watching TV.
I probably would stray away from saying, you know, watching Shameless with your toddler present.
Yeah.
Just a personal choice. Like, I was watching an episode of Yellowstone, and they were all, like, on their horses, and my child's like, horsey, horsey, and I'm like, yeah, I probably should turn this show off.
Yes.
But they were just, like, riding horses, and I wasn't, like, consciously thinking because I went and got her and I went and got her up from a nap and I still had it on. But also, I find retro kids shows are so much more enjoyable than the current kids shows.
We had Tom and Jerry on the other day and Ella was just like watching it. And I'm like, this is what catches your attention.
Tom and Jerry is the stuff, though. That's a good show.
And she's also obsessed with Baby Shark right now.
The girls are obsessed with Handy Manny, Paw Patrol, and Moana and Finding Nemo.
What's Handy Mandy on?
Handy Manny. It is on Disney Plus.
Manny.
It's kind of like Bob the Builder, but not as annoying.
Okay.
There's more songs. And it's not like, which tool do you think I should use? It's not one of those shows. It's literally like, I'm going to say like Dora the Explorer meets Paw Patrol. Like, it's a Paw Patrol show where there's no interaction with the audience, but it's along the lines of like a Hispanic construction worker. Highs and lows. You want to go first or second?
I'll go first. All right. My high is that I have a beautiful 4-day long weekend. 2 of the days, Ella will be in daycare still because they are her normal weekdays. And Mama's going to get a bunch of stuff done around the house and decorate for Christmas.
I was going to say decorate for Christmas.
Decorate for Christmas and enjoy American Thanksgiving because I live in Windsor and
American adjacent.
Yeah, we're pretty American over here. So we are celebrating American Thanksgiving tomorrow and we are going to watch a lot of football and eat a lot of good food. So pretty much American Thanksgiving just in Canada. But yeah, gonna get a lot of stuff done. We're going to watch a parade this weekend, a Christmas parade. So I'm really excited to see Ella's reaction to like fire trucks and stuff.
That's exciting.
Super exciting. Yeah. And then my low, Ella bit a kid.
Honestly, it happens.
Oh, this isn't the first time she's bit a kid. And her daycare teacher came out and talked to me and was like, Ella bit a boy today. And she broke the skin. And we weren't really sure what happened leading up to the bite, but it hasn't happened in a really long time. So we're not like, we're really not sure what happened. I was like, is he okay? Like, for her to break the skin, that's a tough bite. So I was kind of nervous, but they were like, he's okay. And I feel like we've talked about it on here that I feel like both parents freak out. The kid that got bit, his mom's gonna be upset that his kid, like that her kid got hit or bit. And then me, the mom of the biter, feels horrible because her kid bit somebody. So if your kid got bit, please don't
feel mad
at the mom. Like, I feel horrible. And there's nothing I can do. Even today, I was like, please tell me my kid didn't bite someone today. And they're like, nope, she was good. I'm also curious to know if the boy she bit is her boyfriend. There's a boy at daycare that runs around yelling Ella's name all day long. And all the teachers think it's adorable. I told Shane about it. And he's like, who do I have to go beat up? The typical dad response, because he is so not ready for that. But it's cute, but it's one of those things like, she's not even 2 yet. Let's slow down on the boyfriend titles, please.
Oh, Shane.
Especially because like Shane and I, we both had our lives before we really met, and then altered our lives together to get to where we are now. So
it was really vague, but I totally understood what you said.
Right? Like, you have your fun and do a lot of crazy stuff and then you settle down.
Mm-hmm.
So like people, like when the daycare teachers are like, Ella has a boyfriend, I'm like, please, oh, I'm not ready for it. She's not even two.
It's okay. I'm pretty sure there's a boy in the girls' class that's like everybody's boyfriend.
Right, at that age, at that age, that's how it happens. Like, they're all just dating each other. It's fine. But yeah. So Ella has a boyfriend and been a boy. Not sure if it's the same boy. Might ask tomorrow. Find out for sure. But Ella's okay. Also going to the toddler room soon.
Yay!
Save money.
Okay, my highs and lows. I'm going to start with my low because I like to end on a high. I'm kind of jobless at the moment. The job that I had last week did not pan out. And I am not going back to my old job. So there's that. I'm also single. That didn't work out either. It's been a crappy few weeks, everybody. Yeah, that's all I got for my lows. I'm single and unemployed, which was a complete flip from last week because literally my high was like, I'm dating somebody and I have a job. And now I'm like, I am jobless and single. I have a few highs. The girls got ready all on their own this morning. And by all on their own, I mean, I laid out their coats and they put them on the Montessori way. I need to take a video of this because it is the most ingenious hack I've ever seen.
Is it where you put it down and they like go
flip it
and flip yes. it?
Yes, yes, it is. And both kids know how to do it. And when they like gonna get it half on, Reagan can get her arm in the hole and fix it when she screws up.
Awesome.
The only thing I have to do is do up their zippers, which literally is like 2 seconds. They're really hitting their stride with their independence, which is really helping me because when I'm like, we have 10 minutes to get to daycare and it's a 17-minute drive. They're really good at like getting what they need to do.
Yay. It's crazy how fast they grow up though.
Yeah.
Ella knows she can't go like downstairs by herself at my parents' house, obviously. And she like took my finger and walked me all the way downstairs. It was like, we are going downstairs to play and you are coming with me. I'm like, when did this happen? It never happened before where she just took you and went.
The girls do that a lot now.
And I asked her, do you want to go home tonight? And she's like, yep. She's like, bye. Bye. And I'm like, hugs and kisses, and went and gave hugs and kisses to my mom and dad. And I'm like, where did this girl come from? And then if you don't like go home right away, she's now mad.
That's so cute.
It was very cute. She was starting to get fussy and not want to drink her bottle. I'm like, all right, let's go home.
You have a little toddler.
I know. And she's going to the toddler room, which is like so happy and exciting, but so sad at the same time, right? Like, just means she's learning and growing and it's crazy. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what kind of things they do there versus like the infant room. And obviously like there's legit like 6-month-old babies in their infant room. So it'll be very, very different for her. She likes to go and give all the kids their soothers if they drop them.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, the last couple days they keep saying how she likes to help her sad friends and care for them. And I'm like, oh, I feel like she just punched me in the face. I'm glad she's compassionate to some people. Alrighty, let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening to episode 35 of our podcast. We appreciate all the support. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you are listening to us on. Also, if you know someone who would benefit from our information, please share. Our social media is packed with all of today's hacks, apps, and products that we use. So please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsurvivinglife and on Instagram at momsurvivinglife, all one word. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to private message us on Instagram or Facebook or email us at momsurvivinglife@gmail.com.